beautiful day to gather in his house to worship and celebrate. May our hearts, our minds, and our bodies be focused and given to him this day.
Good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We gather on this beautiful day in anticipation of what is going to start tonight. Vacation Bible School, night one, tonight at 5 o'clock. I want to encourage everyone to come out for a time of food and fellowship. Invite your children, invite your grandchildren, invite your nieces and your nephews, invite children from your neighborhood, invite children that you don't even know, go to the playgrounds, pass out stuff. We want lots of children, and we need your part in it. So please, please, please be in prayer for Vacation Bible School as it starts tonight. You will notice I am the lone staff person up here. I did not run Laura and Mason off, I promise you. Mason and Kim are traveling back as we speak from Europe from their mission trip. I look forward to hearing the stories, and he'll be sharing some of those stories in the coming weeks. Laura, on the other hand, is a little under the weather today, and please be in prayer for her as she tries to regain her strength in time for Vacation Bible School tonight. So be in prayer for them. Thank you, Sally, for stepping in at the last minute to fill in for Laura. We are gathered in the Lord's house this day, and we have many opportunities coming up in the next couple weeks. One important thing I do want to remind you about, in 2 weeks, on Sunday, July 26th, we will be having a special called business meeting immediately following the worship service that morning to vote on the changes and the updates on the bylaws that have been taking place over the last couple months. First off, I want to thank the team that has been diligently providing their energy and their time in making these changes and bringing our bylaws up to date, and we will be bringing those changes to you on that Sunday morning. You may have received them in the email this week. Janice sent out on Thursday. There are also copies of them out in the vestibule. So if you want to pick one of those changes up, you can. And that would be a wonderful opportunity to see what's going to be coming in 2 weeks. So please mark your calendars on July 26th, immediately following worship, for that special call business meeting. Please look at your Salmon color sheet for many other opportunities that are there. I know that you'll see opportunities where you can be involved, things that you can pray about, and things that maybe you haven't been involved in the past and want to get involved in as well. So please, please look over those this morning. As we turn our attention to God's Word this morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Psalm 24, a psalm that is near and dear to our hearts. It reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in this holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We rejoice, O Father, that the earth and all who live in it are yours. We who live in the world count this as a privilege beyond all others. We therefore ponder this question, who can stand before you? For we know that we do not always have clean hands and pure hearts. Yet we also know that you have reached out to us in Jesus and have reconciled us to him and to you. So we lift up our heads and praise you for coming into our hearts through your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And we're thankful that the Spirit has descended upon us this day to worship, to sacrifice, to live for you. Father God, we lift this day, this opportunity, this hour to you. We lift this name, this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand and join me as we sing our hymn of praise? It's number 206 in your hymn book, Blessed Be the Name. It will also be up on the screen. Will you stand and join us?
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We have a special children's sermon this morning. So I'd like to invite all the children to come down and kind of sit on the front pew. As you all know, we have VBS coming up tonight. So we thought we'd give you kind of a preview of what you're going to see. These guys have a task that's different from yours, though, because I myself refuse to grow up. So all of you could come and register for VBS tonight if you would like to. But I know that all of you may not come. So the older kids in the back, we're going to give you a certain task. We're going to learn our theme song. This is a song that we sing all week long. And you go home, and I bet there are people here that can sing the songs from last year by memory. So they will know it really well. We're going to teach you a part of that. And we need your help tonight or today. And if you decide to show up tonight, that's great. So can I get you all to stand really quick? And I want to teach you your part. I promise you it is simple, a lot easier than their part, okay? So the first section, you either have to clap three times or one time. So when you clap three times, you're going to go pretty simple. When you clap one time, you're going to go. Good. So let's practice. Ready? I'll hold up three, and you clap three times. I'll hold up one, you clap one, three, one. And I might try to trick you here, so be careful, okay? Ready? Three. One. Good, you got it, okay? So the words go like this. He was a boy who walked this earth. Oh, you're good, you're good. He breathed the air and felt the dirt. He talked a lot. He laughed a lot, just like we do now. Oh man, you're good. All right, the second verse is just same as the first, just different words up here. Ready? He had a home, a family. He went to church where he would read the word of God, his father God, just like we do now. Wonderful. Now the next part, you guys kind of get off easy. You're going to take your left hand, which is the one over here. If I raise my left hand, it's this one, so I don't want to confuse you. So this is your left hand. And you're just going to simply put it up in the air and drop it. And then you're going to reach around like this. You got it. Now, the guys down here have a little bit more to learn. I'm going to get Debbie Claire to help. So, Debbie Claire, you step down there, and I want you guys to watch, because they're going to do the claps behind what she's doing, and then we're going to put this all to music. Does it come together the first time? No. Pretty close. It's amazing what these kids pick up just like that. And you guys are just like kids, so it's no big deal. All right, you ready? So I want you to watch her. These guys are going to do the claps. If you can't do the motions that she's doing and the claps, you just do your motions, and we're going to let them handle the claps, okay? You got your part? You ready, guys? All right. He was a boy who walked the earth. He breathed the air and felt the dirt. He laughed a lot. He loved to talk. He laughed a lot, just like we do now. He had a home, a family. He went to church where he would read the word of God, his father God, just like we do now. All right, so this next section we'll put together as we do through the music, but it's really simple. And you're going to see up here, these guys actually do motions. They walk in a circle. We're not going to do that in here because I don't want any emergency room visits. But tonight, we're going to do this, okay? So if I could get my CD, it's number one, God with Us.
He He was a boy who walked this earth. He breathed the air and felt the dirt. He loved to talk and he laughed a lot, just like we do now. He had a home, a family. He went to church where he would read the Word of God, his Father God, just like we do now. He gave up heaven to be near, and he was God with us. He knows the things that we go through, for he was God with us, God with us. He was a boy walked this earth. He breathed the air and felt the dirt. He loved to talk and he laughed a lot, just like we do now. He had a home, a family. He went to church where he would read the Word of God, his Father God, just like we do.
Just like any preview in a movie, that's just a little bit of what's going to take place tonight and the rest of this week. And I can tell, you know the song, you were moving along, you were clapping your hands, you're all a part of EBS now, so you're officially registered without filling out a form, and we will see you tonight for Vacation Bible School. It is going to be a wonderful opportunity for our church and for our community, and this morning we go and lift up a prayer for this ministry tonight. Let us pray. Father God, we can't even begin to anticipate the fun and the energy and the surprises and the blessing that Vacation Bible School will be starting tonight. Father God, I know that so many have dedicated hours and days leading up to the kickoff tonight. I am thankful for their service. I know the volunteers and those that haven't volunteered yet but are going to come tonight and help are going to be ready to share their love with the children that step forth in this place. I lift up our leaders. I lift up all our children who will be here. Because, Father, you have called us as a congregation to share the love of Christ, to reach out, and that is what Vacation Bible School is all about. Father, we are excited. We're anticipating the fun, but we're ready for the experience. Father God, I lift this night and this week and this ministry up to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand once more and join us for our offertory hymn? It's hymn number 329 in your hymn book, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Let us pray. Our Father, you have given us so much, and we are truly blessed by you. Use these tithes and offerings in your service today. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Would you again join with me in prayer? Oh God, you have invited us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgivings this day, but also our petitions on behalf of the church and the world. As you heard the prayer of Isaac and Rebekah so many years ago, O God, and guided them in the way of love, so listen now to those who seek your guidance, your church. Lord God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus has untied the chains that have held us down for so long. But yet we still stumble. But yet we still fall. But we fall in the loving arms of God. We thank you for being there for us when we fall, encouraging us to get up and to keep going. Father God, we lift the prayers of your church, First Baptist Elon. Each individual need that exists, we place them in your hands, knowing that you hear and that you do. But we do not limit our prayers just to those who are in the walls this day, but for the needs of those outside these walls this day. Hunger, thirst, homelessness, abuse. The list goes on and on and on, and the needs are great, and we lift them to you, knowing that you will use us as your instruments to minister to those in need. Father God, we ask that you give us the spark to get going so the fire and the passion that only you can bring lives in us and through us. We lift this confession to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. This morning, our Old Testament passage comes from the prophetic book of Amos. But we're going to start this morning, we'll be with Amos chapter 7. Instead of starting with verse 1, we're going to start with verse 7. So Amos chapter 7, verse 7. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by his sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As I was standing in the foyer last Sunday after Jeff preached his sermon, I had a beloved church member come up to me and said, "Wow, set the bar pretty high." He said, "3 Sundays in a row, the pastor's only preached for 15 minutes and we got out early. And you're next." Thought that was kind of funny, so I decided, what is the longest sermon ever preached? You can find anything on the internet these days, let me tell you. So I looked it up and I said, what's the longest sermon ever preached? And it came up to me that a minister named Clinton Lacey of West Richland, Washington, in 1955, preached a sermon that was 48 hours and 18 minutes. Don't forget the 18 minutes. 48 hours and 18 minutes. The congregation, in response to Pastor Lacey's sermon, wrote a new beatitude to follow their life by. And it says this: "Blessed is the congregation whose preacher's train of thought has a caboose." I promise you today that my train of thought has a caboose. Maybe they know something that I don't. It is good to be in the pulpit with you this morning. As you turned in your bulletin this morning, my guess is, as you looked at the sermon title this morning, your minds may have gone to a famous television show that used to be played back in the 70s. Now, I will tell you, this is before my time, but I am fully aware of the show. I'm sorry, it's 1970 to 1979. This show, All in the Family, has one of the iconic television characters of all time, a man by the name of Archie Bunker. All in the Family was a show that it set records how popular it was. For 5 straight years, it ranked as the top comedy on the Nielsen rating. It was the first comedy television show to ever do so. Not only that, Archie Bunker, the favorite lead of the show, was named as number 13 on IMDb's characters of television that people most know. Think about it. Lots of TV, he's number 13. That's pretty popular. And what is it about Archie Bunker that grabs our attention? Well, Archie did not hesitate to share his thoughts on anything and everything to anybody. Am I right? All right. Now, we might not always agree with what Archie says. Sometimes the scary part is we actually did. But we may not always agree what he said, but Archie would not hesitate in sharing his thoughts on topics of faith, work, society, politics, family, you name it. He argued about it. He may even have agreed with you on it, but he would argue about it anyway because that's who Archie was. Archie was a man who held his beliefs strongly and was not afraid to share them. However, sometimes, often, most times, Archie's thoughts and opinions were not what society was calling what was right. Sometimes I think the church acts a little bit like Archie Bunker. Think about it. Sometimes we sit comfy in our pews on Sunday morning, complain about the world, share our thoughts without thinking about others. Is that what a church is called to do? Hopefully, by reading our scripture passage from the book of Ephesians this morning, we'll know the answer. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14 this morning. It's a passage that many of you studied in Sunday school today, I hear. And I told all the Sunday school teachers, I hope I don't conflict with what you said, but if I do, come talk to me after I get back from the mission trip in 2 weeks. As we turn to that passage, just to give you a little bit of background on the letter, the church at Ephesus. It's believed that this letter was written by Paul or one of Paul's scribes somewhere around 60 AD. The thought is that Paul was sitting in prison in Rome, and he was writing a letter not just specifically to the church in the city known as Ephesus, but it was writing a letter that he expected, and this is oftentimes what happened, he would write a letter that would first start in Ephesus, and then that congregation would pass it on to the nearest congregation, and then to the nearest congregation, and to the nearest congregation. This letter, often called a circular letter, was not only supposed to be circulated around, was also supposed to bring people together. It was fully expected that this letter would be read out loud to a church, to a congregation in the home that they gathered, and shared with those in the community. Paul was fully aware of what this letter would do. He knew that when he sent it, the church at Ephesus would read it, they would share it around their community, and then they would pass it on. So when we turn to this passage this morning, I don't want you to get captured in the concept that Paul was only writing to this specific church. Paul was writing to multiple churches when he wrote this letter. Reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destines us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. From the very outset of this beginning letter that Paul wrote to multiple churches that we still glean knowledge and information from today, from the very outset, he sets a principle down that will guide his entire ministry, that will guide the churches that he's writing to's ministry, and that can guide our ministry here at First Baptist Elon. Because something that was going on then that Paul wanted to remind them of is that everyone was blessed by the sacrifice and the grace and mercy of God. Everyone. It's not limited. Everyone. You see, back then, he was writing to churches who were pretty much full of Gentiles. If you remember the early church, they focused a lot early on the Jewish individuals, and hopefully they converted to Christianity, but the Gentile population was basically pushed aside. And it was Paul in his ministry and his following students that took that message not just to the Jews, but he took it to the Gentile world. And he was writing to this congregation saying, don't forget, the salvation through Jesus Christ is for you too. To us today, that sounds, of course, that's a no-brainer. Why do we even need to address that? But maybe we have differing Gentiles in the world today. Paul writes this to this church, recognizing and understanding that they were young, that they were focused, that they had passion, and that they wanted to reach out. And he wanted to remind them that first and foremost, the gift that you bring, the message that you bring, is salvation through Jesus Christ, who was for everyone. Now, I'm going to go way out here for a second, because this is what Paul was writing when he intended it. Paul was writing to a community that needed to understand their concept of who God was limiting to who God really is. Did you get that? Their concept of who God was limiting to who God really is. God is beyond limits. We can't even begin to fathom who God is and all the amazing things that He has done. We think about creation in 7 days and we try to understand it in an orderly fashion, but the fact is, we can't even begin to understand how God brought into this world earth, land, water, animals, human beings, the cosmos, beyond the cosmos, and beyond the nearest cosmos. That's beyond our imagination. And that's who God was. And even in the midst of that, in the midst of His entire creation, in the midst of what He was bringing into this world, He did one thing. One thing that Paul tells them not to forget right here is that in the creation, before creation, God intended His salvation for everyone. Before the earth even existed. There's a term in here that often catches people's attention, and I think sometimes we can focus a little bit too much on it. It's the word destined. Destined. Now, this is a term that really over the last 30 years has risen back into the Christian thought, and theologians talk about and discuss and dissect this idea of what does it mean that God destined the world to have salvation from the beginning. Unfortunately, over the last 30 years, there's been a rise in the belief that God predestined before everything who would come to salvation and who would not. Term called predestination. It's rising in churches in the birth of Neo-Calvinism. John Calvin first introduced this concept of unconditioned election, that God has set out before who would have salvation, who would come to salvation, and who would not. They often point at Ephesians 1 as part of their foundational passage for this thought, but something is missed if we come to the concept there that God intended from the beginning who was going to have salvation and who was not. They miss verse 10, which said, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him. All things includes everyone, all of creation, the earth, the land, the animals, the space, everything that's out there, the sun, the moon, the stars, and every human being. Now, I can preach 48 hours on this topic, but I promise I won't. But I want you to understand is, from the very beginning, God intended us to have the opportunity of salvation, the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, that when He stepped foot on that cross, it was for everyone, not just me and not necessarily you, or not just us and not them. God's salvation was for everyone, and He was reminding the church at Ephesus, do not lose that. You've just been included into the fold by Paul's ministry, but it goes farther. What about the Samaritans? What about those halfway? What about those that don't even speak the language or don't even look like us or think like us? What about those included as well? Because God, from the very beginning, intended to adopt us into His family. Now, adoption has become a really powerful ministry over the last couple decades. It is a growing ministry, and there are so many children out there that need a loving home and adoption. But the term adoption here is not what you would normally think of adoption now. You see, when Paul writes that we were adopted in verse 5. He says, He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ. When He says this, He's thinking about the more New Testament terminology of adoption. See, adoption back in the New Testament time was when someone wanted to adopt someone. It usually wasn't a child. It was usually a man. When he wanted to bring someone into his family, it was an amazing thing. It was something that was honored and prestige to say, I want you to be a part of this family. There was two steps in this adoption process. The first step was mansupateo, which basically means that the family of the person that was being adopted would symbolically go to the adopting family and say, here is my son. They would bring a scale out and place it on a table just like this. They would put copper on one end and have the other person stand on the other end. And symbolically, two times, he would say, I give you this to adopt your son. The first two times this happened, the father gives the son and then immediately purchases him back. The third time, though, as the son is placed there in front of the altar table with the copper, the family absorbs that person in, and then it was complete. You might think, that's just strange. Why would someone do that? Because that person who was adopted was being placed at a privileged position in that family, above their already members of the family. That was the first step. The second step was this, called vindicateo, which basically they would bring into the court system the son that was being adopted and said, this is my son. This is my person. He's part of my family now. Please honor him as though. You would have to go through a trial and bring forth the evidence to say, this is who my son is. And once accepted, the adoption took place. So when Paul refers to adoption in this passage, he's talking about taking someone and putting them at a place of privilege above the other family members. So when Jesus from the beginning intended us to be adopted, he was taking each one of us and putting us at a place of privilege, of honor. Paul reminded the church at Ephesus that this honor and this privilege comes with responsibility. So, we are adopted. We are intended from creation to have the salvation of Jesus Christ. We're adopted into His family. So, what do we do about it? Paul says two things. And to get these two ideas across, I want you to imagine a small child right here beside me, with a great big birthday box wrapped up. Okay? This small child opens and rips off the paper in the birthday box, and he peers inside. He doesn't let anybody else see it. He just peers inside. And all of a sudden, he has a great, huge smile across his face, and he looks out at everyone. That's our first response to the fact that we've been adopted. We see it on our faces. We express it in the words that we say. And then we respond, thank you. Thank you for this gift. But he doesn't leave the gift in the box. No. The next thing he does, he dumps it out so everybody else can see and invites them to come forward and see what he has. That's the second step in our response to Paul's letter. We first say, thank you, God. But then we share it with everyone because we can't help but contain the enthusiasm and the passion that that gift of salvation brings. We can't hold on to it for ourselves. We have to go out and share it. That's what Vacation Bible School is all about. Did you see that hook? Did you catch it? If we're called as a congregation to say thank you to God, and that's what we're doing today as we worship in His house, we're saying thank you. But that's only the first step. The second step is we do something about it. We share it. Tonight we have an opportunity to share it with children that set foot in our church quite often and children who do not, that need to know that message,
that you were adopted. You were brought into the family. That God loves you. And you can learn about that gift and experience that gift so we can share it with everyone. So what do we do about it? We invite children. We come out tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday to see those smiling faces, to help share the gift that we have. We don't leave it in the box. And VBS is not the only way. Through worship in this place, through Sunday school, through ministries for senior adults and adults and youth and children, through work in our community, in our jobs, in our schools, in our friends, in our family. It's carried to everybody. That's what Paul was reminding the Gentiles this day. It's for everyone. We're not called to be Archie Bunkers of the world. We're called to be sharers of the message and the gift that God has blessed us with from the very, very, very beginning. Are we doing it? I'm a part of the family, but we want all in the family. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time recognizing the gift that you have destined for us from the very beginning. Mercy and grace and salvation. And Father, we are thankful and we praise you and we worship you and we say thank you for that gift this day in this place. But we have to take the next step. We have to go and do and share with our mouths, with our hands, with our feet. Father God, I just ask that you give us the motivation and the courage to do that. What an opportunity lies ahead, not just tonight, but every single day that you bless us with. We pray that we can follow your path and share the message. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of invitation, maybe this is the Sunday that you recognize and realize that you have been adopted into the family. That all you have to do is accept and come forward. Maybe today that's the day for you. Maybe today is the day that you recognize that you've been adopted so many years ago, but you've fallen off the path and you need to get back into the family. Maybe you need to recommit that dedication, that ministry today. The altar is always open. Always open to God for you to come and experience Him. Come as we sing our invitation hymn.
Oh.
that I know pretty well, who has, for many years, has talked about his faith and desire with Jennifer and I, and he comes this morning professing his faith to this congregation, a decision he made some time ago, but something that he's been working out. And he comes to join this congregation through baptism, and we are excited for you, not just Mommy and Daddy, but everybody is, buddy. If you accept Samuel's coming this morning and welcome him into the family at First Baptist Church of Elon, I ask that you would please stand. Everyone standing here is supporting you, loving you, going to be there with you every step of the way as you continue this journey of faith. We look forward to entering the baptismal waters. We look forward to all the wonderful things that God is going to do through you and in this congregation. I'll ask Samuel to stand up here, and I'll ask Jennifer and Luke if they'll come forward at this time to stand with him. After the following service, I ask that you come and welcome Samuel to the family and give him a word of encouragement, as you, I know you will. Let us conclude with this benediction and then singing the chorus together. Father God, you have invited everyone into this family. May we carry that message with us everywhere we go so that we all can be brothers and sisters in Christ. We place this blessing upon this congregation, the ministry that took place this day and that will take place this week. In the Lord's name, amen.